The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 14, Text Number 2, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on September 21st, 2013, at ISKCON, Noida, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is a prose verse, and we will not read it responsively. I'll just read it by myself here. Yasham I ha va ete shad indriya namano karmada dasyava eva te tad yata purushasya danang yakinchit dharma payayikam bahu krishradigatam sakshat parama purusharvadana lakshano yaso dharmastang tu samparaya Udaharanti tad dharmyam dhanam darshana sparshana shravanashvadana vagrana sankalpa vyavyasaya griha gramyopabhogena kuna tasya jitatmano yata sartasya vilum panti. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the forest of material enjoyment, the uncontrolled senses are like plunderers. The conditioned soul may earn some money for the advancement of Krishna consciousness. But unfortunately, the uncontrolled senses plunder his money through sense gratification. You can lower the volume a little bit. The senses are plunderers because they make one spend his money unnecessarily for seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, hearing, desiring, and willing. In this way, the conditioned soul is obliged to gratify his senses, and thus all his money is spent. This money is actually acquired for the execution of religious principles, but it is taken away by the plundering senses. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Purva janam narjita vidya purva janmarchitam janang agre dhavati dhavati. By following the principles of the Varnashram Dharma, one attains a better position in the material world. One may be rich, learned, beautiful, or high-born. One who has all these assets should know that they are all meant for the advancement of Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, when a person is misguided, he misuses his high position for sense gratification. Therefore, the uncontrolled senses are considered plunderers. The good position one attains by executing religious principles is wasted as the plundering senses take it away. By executing religious principles under the laws of Varnashrama Dharma, one is placed in a comfortable position. One may very easily use his assets for the further advancement of Krishna consciousness. One should understand that the wealth and opportunity one gets in the material world should not be squandered in sense gratification. They are meant for the advancement of Krishna consciousness. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore teaching people to control the mind and five knowledge acquiring senses by a definite process. One should practice a little austerity and not spend money on anything other than the regulative life of devotional service. The senses demand that one see beautiful things. Therefore, money should be spent for decorating the deity in the temple. Similarly, the tongue has to taste good food, which should be bought and offered to the deity. The nose can be offered or utilized in smelling the flowers offered to the deity, and the hearing can be utilized by listening to the vibrations of the Hare Krishna mantra. In this way, the senses can be regulated and utilized to advance Krishna consciousness. Thus, a good position might not be spoiled by material sense gratification in the form of illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. One spoils an opulent position in the material world by driving cars, spending time in nightclubs, or tasting abominable food in restaurants. In these ways, the plundering senses take away all the assets that the conditioned soul has acquired with great difficulty. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Dattapadukamunam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sangrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vidam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakam Vidamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Paristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschuchadesha Tabine. Coming from America, I immediately was thinking all about America when I was reading this purport. Because I travel all over the world and I can see that the Americans have a standard of opulence which is not available anywhere else in the world. In that position they have gotten of power, of opulence, that is due to past pious activities. But they're spoiling it like anything by using it for sense gratification. In fact, nobody's interested in Krishna consciousness. So it's like that story, you know that story, Punar Muzika Baba, everyone knows that story. Everyone, no need to tell it, right? Everybody already knows it. Does somebody not know the story of Punar Muzika Baba? If you already know the story, raise your hand. Only a few know, okay. All right. So anyway, there was one little mouse. And this mouse, he was having a very hard time. Because every time he came out of his mouse hole to try to get something to eat, the cat was ready to pounce on him and eat him. He was having a hard time. He was getting pretty hungry there in his mouse hole, you see. He couldn't get out for a bite to eat. Every time he came out for his lunch, the cat wanted to have the mouse for his lunch, you see. So, what to do? Well, anyway, one day the cat fell asleep. And the little mouse made a mad dash. There was a famous yogi in the village who had all mystic powers. So he ran to the yogi's hut when the cat wasn't looking, you see. And he said, "Yogi, yogi, yogi, I'm being tortured by this cat. Please, can you help me out? Please help me. This cat is torturing me. I can't eat anything." He said, "Well, I can make you a cat. Would you like that?" "Yeah, that'd be great." "All right. Poof. Now you're a cat." Now he's a cat. No problem. and the cats aren't going to bother him. But then he's walking down the street thinking, I've really got it made, now I'm a cat, and then ruff, 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 the dog comes. Oh, now the dog is after me. What to do? So he ran back to the yogi's hut. Yogi, 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 now the dog is harassing me. What can I do? What can I do? Well, I can make you a dog. Yes, yes. Poop. Now you're a dog. Ah, very good. I'm a dog. No problem with the dogs. No problem with the cats. I really got it made now, you see. And he goes down the street again, and now a Bengali tiger comes to the village looking for his lunch. Oh, tiger, tiger. He goes running back to the yogi's hut. Yogi, 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 now the tiger is after me. What to do? Well, I can make you a tiger. Poof! Yes, tiger. Now the tiger, you see, he has the advantage. He doesn't have to go to the stand in line at the grocery store. He doesn't have to worry about cooking the food, getting the spices, the knife and fork. He just jumps on his meal and eats it. But there's one difficulty. That's every time he goes to take his meal runs away, you see. And Prabhupada explained there's a little bird in the forest who goes, Sayu, Sayu, Sayu. And that little bird, he gives the warning whenever the tiger is out on his lunch break. You see? So as soon as everyone hears that warning, they head for the hills. They make a mass exodus out of that area of the jungle. And that tiger is wondering, where's all the animals? I've come here and all the animals are gone. There's nobody, this little bird up there is making his signal. Now all the animals are gone. I can't, the only thing I can do about that bird up in the tree. So the tiger has a hard time getting him food to eat, you see. But now, the tiger is sitting in a hut with a nice plump-looking yogi. So you know what that tiger is thinking, you see. So the yogi is no dummy. He says, so, you want to eat me? The tiger says, yes. He says, okay. Punarmuzugabhava. Again, you become a mouse. Now he's a little tiny mouse again, you see. So, these opulent materialists, in everywhere, there are opulent materialists everywhere, you see. In India, America, Europe, everywhere. There are materialists who become very, very opulent. They have all kinds of money, power, servants, automobiles, mansion, you know, yachts, Learjets, you know, all kinds of opulence. In every country you have the people who become very opulent. Due to their past pious activities, they become tiger. And what do they want to do? They want to kill God. They want to defeat God. They say, oh, there is no God. God is dead. I can do whatever I want, you see. They want to kill God. So what is the result? Punamuzagabhava. Again they become mouse. So Prabhupada said all these empires in the history of the world, they've come and gone. The Greek Empire came, it went. The Roman Empire came, it was defeated. The Spanish Empire came, it was defeated. The British Empire came, it's now practically gone, nothing left, you see. Now the Americans have become a big, like an empire, and they will also be finished, you see, if they don't take to Krishna consciousness. So whatever opulence you may have, you see, whatever power, prestige, talents, abilities, whatever you have, don't think it's simply because you're great. I deserve it. Actually, it's coming by God's grace according to your past pious activities. And if you don't utilize it in the service of God, what are you doing to your pious activity credit? You're spending it off and you're diminishing it to zero. you can enjoy past pious activities. Hitler also, Adolf Hitler, had been a very pious person in the previous life. That's how he got so much power and prestige. Everyone was going, Heil Hitler. Because he had been a very pious man in a previous lifetime, or in many lifetimes. He got so much power, but he used it, he abused it to torture so many people. He completely abused that power, and at the end he was completely defeated. He had to hide in a bunker. He committed mass suicide with his top followers. They all committed suicide in some underground bunker. As the Allied forces and the Russian armies converged on Berlin, you see, if ever this whole thing was finished. So don't, whatever opulence you have, even if it's just a little bit of opulence, don't use it for sense gratification. If you do, you're pulling the rug out from under yourself. You see? If you use whatever facility you have for sense enjoyment, you're just shooting yourself with a gun. That's all you're doing. Whatever opulence you have, you must remember who is the proprietor. You know that shloka? Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvadloka maheshvaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatpamam shatamishati. Only those who know me as the supreme owner, enjoyer, and friend can have peace. And also it is stated in Isha Upanishad Mantra 1, Isha Vashamidam Sarvam Yat Kincham Yagajam Jagat Tena Trak Tena Bunjita Magrita Kshusvibha. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. Therefore, one should only accept those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, knowing well to whom everything belongs. So if you take more than you actually need, you're a thief. If you take more than you need, you are a thief, and you're subject to be punished by the laws of nature. This is serious business. Doesn't matter if you're a child, an adult, whoever you may be. If you take more than your quota, you will be punished by the laws of nature. That's a fact. You will be punished. But if you use it in the service of Krishna, then you can have unlimited opulence. Unlimited opulence. Like Maharaj Pariksit and Maharaj Yudhishthira. If you use whatever you have in the service of Krishna and you do not use it for sense gratification, you can become a birla. A wealth, a fabulously rich person. Because you'll be using it all for Krishna. So whatever opulence you have, understand it's not yours. It's the property of Bhagavan, Krishna. Ever opulence you have. Therefore, utilize it all in the service of Krishna. And then Krishna will give you more and more and more opulence. But if you use opulence for sense gratification, what will be the result? Krishna will be very kind to you, and he will take away all of your opulence and make you a beggar in the street. I'm serious. You become a beggar in the street. So whatever opulence you have, you use it for Krishna. Don't be greedy. What did Gandhiji say? He said, there's enough in the world for everyone's need, but not for everyone's greed. So, why are people suffering? Why are people going hungry? Why are people in poverty? Because other people are taking more than they need. You understand? If you take more than you need, you are depriving somebody else what they need. So take what you need, not what you greed. But for Krishna, we can use unlimited opulence. Some people criticize, well, you know, it's wrong to have opulent temples. We just have to feed the poor. That's not true. The whole world is poor because we are lacking God consciousness. We are using our opulence to make beautiful cruise ships, which are, you know, to make opulent cruise ships with gambling casinos and dancing girls. We're spending our opulence on these kind of nonsense things. In America, the most opulent buildings are the banks. The banks. They have the money. They have all these opulent buildings, you see. So we have to use that opulence to make beautiful temples. That is proper utilization of money. And then we can also, when we have a wonderful God-conscious atmosphere, when people are God-conscious, then the food problem will automatically be solved. Actually, every temple, Prabhupada said, should see that everyone within 10 kilometers of their temple is very nicely fed, you see. So it's not that the temple is at the expense that people will starve because we're building beautiful temples. That's not true. When you worship Krishna, Lakshmiji is very pleased. Bhumi, the goddess earth, is very pleased. She will, when Krishna is being worshipped, what is that sloka? Anad bhavanti bhutani parjanyo anasambhavaha jagad bhavati parjanyo yagya karma samudbhavaha. All living bodies subsist on fruit grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by the performance of yajna, sacrifice, and sacrifice is born of prescribed duties. So if yajna is going on, you see, beautiful temples, nice harinam, if we have wonderful deity worship and wonderful kirtans going on, that is yajna. From kirtan yajna. And that will bring all opulence. So don't ever fall for this argument that we just have to feed the poor. It's wrong to make a beautiful opulent temple. That's completely bogus. Completely bogus philosophy. Make gorgeous opulent temples, you see, where people can come. And they will get prasadam also. But let them come and be inspired by the beautiful deities, the wonderful kirtan. In this way, the consciousness of the people will be elevated and they will stop being greedy and they will think of rendering service to the Lord. Because we cannot see God with our present blunt senses. Therefore, the Lord has very mercifully agreed to come in a form perceivable by our gross, blunt material senses in the form of archa vigraha, the murti. So this deity worship is a very important thing for the common people, you see. So, are there any questions? You can pass the papers forward. Srila Gurudev, will past pious activities help one get closer to devotees and devotional service in this life? Yes, pious activities are good. A pious man, if he's not proud of his piety, that's a danger. But if he has a pious man, he's willing to give in charity, for example. So he can, that pious nature can be used in Krishna's service. So piety is a very good qualification. Pious people are good candidates for devotional service, unless they're very puffed up. Then it's a problem. But piety is very good. But it doesn't matter pious or impious, you see. Satjana, durjana. Whether you're a pious satjana or an impious durjana. This Krishna consciousness movement, satjana, durjana, pangu, jada, anagana, prema, vanyaya, du, baila, jagatara, jana. It is stated by Krishna Das Kaviraj that this Krishna consciousness movement is a tidal wave of love of God, you see. And it will drown everyone, the pious, the impious, the lame, the invalid, the blind. Everyone will become inundated by this Krishna consciousness movement. You said that when there is wonderful Harinam, daily worship, etc., all opulence will come. Rakesh should explain why our temples and congregations are always in need of money. Because we're not giving enough money to the temple. We're spending too much money on sense gratification. That's the reality. Is everybody in your congregation giving at least 10% of their income to the temple? Where's our temple ministry? Is everybody giving at least 10% of their income? No. That means if you're making 5,000 rupees a month, then automatically 500 goes to the temple. Automatically. That's what the Christians do. The Christians, you know, have a lot of money. You've seen in India how they have tons of money to practically bribe people to become Christians. You see? Because they give 10%. I was raised as a Christian kid. Even as a little boy, I had to give 10% of my allowance every Sunday to the church. I was trained. 10%, son. You give 10% to the church. My dad trained me. That's the system. Prabhupada said we should give 50%. But we're not even up to the standard of the Christians giving 10%. The problem is our householders are not giving enough money. That's the problem. We have the money. We have huge congregations now in India, but I've seen people, sometimes people come to the temple, just like in America, you know, there's the RT for putting the money. They open their wallet, they got a $100 bill, a 50, a 20, a 10, a 5, and a 1. Well, they put in the 1. You see what I'm saying? You got my point? Don't be greedy when it comes to serving Krishna. If you have 100, of course it's different denominations here, but 100 rupee note isn't much here, but in America $100 is big. What is that, about 6,000 rupees? Yeah. So if you have, you know, if you have 100, if you're in America, you have 100, a 50, a 20, a 10, a 5, and a 1, give the 100 to Krishna. You see what I'm saying? Be generous. Give, give, give. The more you give to Krishna, the more you get back from Krishna. Krishna wants to see how are you spending your opulence. If you just give a little tiny bit, you know, Krishna doesn't see what you're giving, he sees you're holding back. But if you give very generously, Krishna will give you more. Oh, this person is giving me so much money. Let me give him more money so he can give even more. Krishna is happy to see someone who is very generously supporting the temple. That person will become more wealthy. Not that he becomes less wealthy by giving a lot of money to the temple. By giving a lot of money to the temple, he becomes more wealthy. Where does Lakshmiji stay? She stays at the lotus feet of Narayan. For a materialist, Lakshmi is Chanchala. Sometimes she is present, sometimes she is not present. But for the Vaishnava, Lakshmi is always there. But one who is purely engaged in serving Krishna, whatever Lakshmi you need, it is always there. You see. If you're purely absorbed in bhakti, whatever Lakshmi you need, Krishna provides it. That's okay. Want to add something? Are animals equal souls or lesser souls? All souls are equal. We are all the eternal servants of Krishna. We have been animals in our previous lives. They are burning off karma right now of sinful activities committed in previous human lives. They are not any less than we. Therefore, we should stop the slaughterhouses right now. Stop killing these animals. They are persons just like you. But they are covered right now due to past sinful activities. Don't kill animals in your slaughterhouses. Close your slaughterhouses. How do we know that we are using more than what we deserve? In other words, how do you know if you're spending more than your quota? Well, ask your spiritual master. You should have a guru, right? That's the Vedic injunction. You have to have a spiritual master. And you have temple authorities also. You ask your temple president, you ask your spiritual master, am I properly utilizing my wealth in the service of the Lord, or am I being greedy? Ask them. If some senior devotees are indulged in stealing money meant for making Krishna's temple, that's not a senior devotee, I'm sorry. That's a non-devotee. A devotee, even a junior devotee, would not steal money meant for making Krishna's temple. That's not a devotee. That's a Kali Chela, a disciple of Kali, pretending to be a devotee. A real devotee would never steal anything from Krishna, meant for Krishna's service. What should be our attitude towards such a devotee? Well, he's not a devotee, that's the first thing. But you should be kind, try to rectify him. We had that experience many years ago with Prabhupada. There was one, you know, our life membership program, formerly, I think it's still going on, but it was a whole, we didn't have a congregational support in the early days of congregational members. It was the life membership program was the way income is generating, ISKCON was generating Lakshmi in India, signing up life members everywhere. So one cunning thief, he got the idea. He dressed up like a sannyasi, you know, tilak, the whole thing. He imitated the life membership receipts, the whole thing. And he was going around and signing up life members for ISKCON and pocketing all the money. So they captured him, and the police brought him. And they're going to put him in jail. And he was there with Prabhupada, and then he fell at Prabhupada's feet and says, "Please give me shelter. I surrender to you." And Prabhupada told the police to go away. "He's taken shelter of me, he's surrendered to me, therefore we excuse what he has done." But then one day they caught him trying to sneak out of the Mayapur temple, and they called the police, had him arrested. Because he wasn't really surrendering, you see. So, if someone steals from the temple, and they're willing to, you know, they beg forgiveness, they're willing to surrender, and then you can allow them. Otherwise, call the police and have them put in prison. That's all. We can forgive someone who's willing to repent and mend their ways. But if not, have them arrested, put them in prison. That's what you do with them. When will we know that the material world... When we will know that the material world will never fulfill our desire? Why you don't know now? You should know right now, this material world will never satisfy you. Material sense gratification will never satisfy you. Dushparena lena cha. Material desires burn like fire and they are never satisfied. So you should be convinced right now. Is anybody here not convinced? Does anybody here think the material world can satisfy their desires? Raise your hand. If you think this material world can satisfy your desires and make you happy, raise your hand right now. Be honest. Go ahead. Nobody's raising their hand. Jai. Hare Krishna. Dandavats. How to increase our taste for chanting? By continuing to chant. Chanting is a curing process. Now we are suffering from the disease of no taste for chanting, but chanting is the cure for getting over the disease of having no taste for chanting. So if you keep chanting, 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 in a mood of surrender to Krishna, in the mood of calling out to the Lord to please save me from my fallen position, if you will chant like that, then you will get the taste and you'll become very, very attentive. Thank you, Prabhu, for a wonderful class. Please tell, how should we deal with devotees who behave in immature ways with us, but are senior to us? What about your own immaturity, Prabhu? Have you ever thought about your own immaturity? Do you think you're perfect in maturity? What about your immaturity? You're finding fault with the other devotees for their immaturity. What about your immaturity, rascal? That's my challenge. So many devotees, they find fault. Yeah, these devotees are no good. These devotees are no good. What about your faults? Why don't you rectify your faults? Why are you so worried about other people rectifying their faults? Why don't you rectify your faults? This is your fault. You're finding fault with others and you're not rectifying your faults. So you rectify your faults. There are different ways of understanding senior, and they are all valid. One way is who got initiated before me. Even in the same yajna, if so-and-so devotee got their beads just before me, they're my senior devotee in one sense. Whoever is initiated before you, they're considered senior. That's one way. Seniority is also by age. Well, this is an elderly devotee, so I offer him respect. But the highest understanding of senior is who is more advanced in Krishna consciousness. But that's not always easy to understand and measure, you see. We can't always really know. So the etiquette of someone who was initiated before me, we always respect that etiquette. But if someone is initiated but they're not following the principles, you know, they're not chanting their rounds, then obviously they're not that senior. A senior devotee means they're fixed in their vows. They've steadily chanted 16 rounds and followed the four principles since the day of their initiation. That person is respected, is a fixed up devotee. Someone who's never deviated from their initiation vows. That person should always be respected. You like to add something to that, Devi? How to overcome the false ego which we develop sometimes during our service to Lord Krishna. What do you mean, sometimes? Sometimes. First of all, understand the false ego problem is something we always are dealing with. Not that sometimes, no, we always are dealing with the false ego problem. That's the fact. How to get over that false ego which has been afflicting me since time immemorial and I have not yet fully conquered yet. How can I get free from the influence of ahankar? Yeah, that's the real question. And that is by going even deeper, you see. The false ego is a wild monster beast which is just below the surface. By moral principles, we curb it down to some extent. But that false ego is greedy, lusty, angry, illusioned, insane, and envious. And we carry it around with us. So how do you conquer it? You have to go even deeper, because beneath the covering the false ego is the real ego, you see, the pure devotee of Krishna. You have a pure devotee within you. The false ego is a covering over that pure devotee who is within you. So you have to go deeper within yourself. It's like in the desert. There's no water, but if you drill deep, deep, deep within that desert, then you'll find the water. So the false ego, that's our desert-like consciousness, which is presently manifested there. But if you drill deep, deep, deep within your heart, you'll find the pure devotee sitting there waiting to be born. And what is the drilling process? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How to get the taste of Harinam? You just got to keep chanting. Chanting is enchanting. So if you keep chanting, the taste will come. How to overcome urges of the mind? You have to develop spiritual urges by following the regulated principles of devotional service. Can I do chanting in this Pratipaksh Shraddh? Sorry, Hindi bolo nahi. As we know that a parrot can also learn to chant the holy names like Ram Ram, will it go back to Godhead by such chanting? Actually, this reminds me. We were preaching in Fiji, one island called Tavayuni. It was very nice. Very beautiful tropical island. There's hardly any, it's not developed. You have to fly a little airplane in there. There's no bridges. And there's hardly any cars. I mean, it's just a really beautiful, remote, tropical island. So there was one devotee family. They were living there. They didn't have running water or electricity. They had to improvise water and electricity. It was quite an interesting place. But they had a parrot in the backyard, in a little cage in the backyard. And he would go, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Hari Bol, the parrot. He was just back there going, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So, will he go back to Godhead by that chanting? Well, Prabhupada one time told us in London, he said, you can train the parrot to go Krishna, 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 but when the cat catches him by the neck, he goes, ka, ka, ka. No more Krishna. So no, you can't chant like a parrot and go back to Godhead, nor can a parrot go back to Godhead. Don't be a parrot. You have to chant with feeling. You have to understand there is a person, Krishna, and he wants you to become reconnected with him through loving devotion. So you have to call out to that Krishna. And in this way, your chanting will bear fruit. How to clear the accumulated un-nectar. That's an interesting word. The un-nectar. They just coined a new English word now. The un-nectar. The poison. How to clear the accumulated un-nectar in the heart and increase devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Chanting, 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 chanting. How can I be able to chant the Maha Mantra on a daily basis without fail? By making a vow and sticking to it. One little trick I've held that helps some people, don't eat your breakfast until your rounds are done. It's not a rule, but it's a suggestion. It helps some people who've had a hard time. Because the early morning, it's easier to chant. And if you're looking at the breakfast table over there, and I can't take breakfast, I'm getting hungry now. I'm getting my round done, so I got to have my breakfast. For some people have a hard time with disciplining themselves. That has helped them. They don't take their breakfast until they finish 16 rounds. And that way they get 16 rounds done every day, because who would want to skip breakfast? You know. So that's a tip that has helped some people if they have a hard time. Suppose a person commits heinous crimes in his lifetime, misusing his powers, and that person gets the fruits of those crimes in his next birth, say? So let's say he's born as a crippled man. Then he enjoyed his previous life, and the person who was born crippled in the next life hates himself and God for his such a state. How can this be justified? That fair, should we not suffer in his, should he not suffer in his present life itself? God doesn't do anything unfair. Everybody gets their fair karma. The laws of karma are absolutely just. There is no injustice in the laws of karma. If somebody is resentful, that's simply their stupidity. Everyone gets exactly what they deserve. So this is the end of the questions. I have some work I have to get back to. We get up very early, and the four lectures today and four lectures tomorrow. I only have so much I can do physically. So we'll finish these up, and that'll be it for tonight. Sometimes we have to kill some insects in our home in order to make our home neat and clean. Is this good or not? It's not very good. They are living entities just like you. The thing is, you should make your home very neat and clean, and they won't be attracted to come. They like to go to places where people are dirty, where there's food crumbs laying around. You see? So you should be very, very neat and clean, and very few insects will come. Very few insects will come. You can't be very dirty, you know, leave unwashed things in the sink so that attract all the roaches, and then go under the spray can and psh. You see, you can't do it like that. You have to be very, very clean. And then if you're very clean and you're a devotee and they still come, then you might be able to get away with using some means. But I know in the U.S., sometimes we would have a, you know, it would be like a rat. You can get what they call have a heart traps in the U.S. You can capture animals live. A rat can be captured alive, or a mouse can be captured alive, and then you take them a distant place and let them go. They're called have a heart traps. You see? We really have to avoid killing. You see, this killing business is not very good. It's very risky, karmically, to kill anything. If the roaches, the altar is always kept clean, the roaches are coming anyway, then you may have to do something in your home or at the temple. And that can be excused by Krishna. But you have to make every effort to avoid it. And you have to be very clean. But if you're just lazy and you're dirty and you just kill them, you're going to get some reaction to that. Sorry. When someone is doing bhakti, is there a chance to get power to know the past and present of self or someone? Sure, there's a chance. But why are you interested in such power? You're getting diverted from bhakti. I'd like to have the power to know the past and the future. Come on. Why are you wasting your energy like that? Why aren't you developing love of God? You're still caught up in your false ego. You see, give up this nonsense. Are there some gurus, a saint in ISKCON, who can read the past of a devotee? I don't know. Why is it magic? I want to have a guru who can read my past. I mean, come on. A guru is not someone who can... astrologer is meant for reading. Not that I have to have a guru who can read my past, then he'll be my guru. No. You need a guru who will save you from this material world. That's what you need. What good is reading your path? Please enlighten me with the meaning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. My dear inner Jiva Lord and my dear Lord, please engage me in your pure devotional service. When we're doing some service, some senior devotee corrects us. How should we take it? Mercy, mercy, mercy. How fortunate I am. Prabhupada one time was sitting in a lecture by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And some old man who was deaf, he couldn't quite hear what Guru Maharaj was saying. So he asked Prabhupada, what is he saying? What is he saying? And Prabhupada was going to explain to him, and Bhaktisiddhanta see they were talking during the lecture, immediately chastised Prabhupada. He chastised him very heavily in front of everyone. Prabhupada took that as the greatest blessing. So if you're chastised by a senior devotee, you should take it as the greatest blessing. We should engage all our desires in the service of Krishna. How can I engage my anger and other desires in the service of Krishna? Yes. Preaching. I am extremely angry that so many children are being killed in the abortion clinics. I am extremely angry. Just like recently, there was a whole thing, you know. In Syria, there was like 1,200 people were killed by poison gas. Okay? In America, they're making a big deal in the Congress, the Senate. Yeah, we got to go punish those people. They killed 1,200 people. You know, the President of the United States was speaking out against it. It's a horrible thing. We got to punish them for killing 1,200 of their own citizens. But wait a minute. How many murders is President Obama authorizing every day in the abortion clinics? Millions and millions of children are being murdered every year in the United States of America with the full permission and encouragement of the president. And that rascal is complaining that some other government killed 1,200 people. That makes me very angry. I am very angry about it. The hypocrisy. The Syrians killed 1,200. The Americans are killing 12 million and they're making a big deal about the 1,200 killed by the Syrians. This hypocrisy of the leadership makes me extremely angry. Therefore, I'm traveling and preaching all over the world to try to put a stop to these nonsense leaders. I'm going to train you people not to support these rascal leaders. We want pure Vaishnavas leading this world, not these rascal demons who pose themselves as great pious men. They're simply cheaters and rascals. This makes me extremely angry. That's why I'm traveling and preaching. I'm going to put a stop to this damn nonsense material civilization and bring Vaishnava culture back to this planet. So that's how you can use your anger in Krishna's service. You understand? Preach. Distribute books. Do Harinam. Build beautiful temples. Make a glorious preaching. Sacrifice your hard-earned money as much as possible, every single paisa, to make this movement successful for taking over the world as soon as possible. Please. That's my request. That's called spiritual anger. How can we come to a negative, positive effect? How can we come to negative positive effect is that from this life, previous life. Oh, come to understand. Okay. It's a simple law. In other words, they want to know, how can I understand the law of karma is real? If you study, even the physicists say the same thing. The famous physicist Sir Isaac Newton, his law of motion is that for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. So if you can't take it from the Vedas, take it from Sir Isaac Or take it from the Bible. As you sow, so you reap. You can't take it from anybody else. Go to take a tennis ball and throw it on the wall and see what happens. It'll bounce right back on you. So you have to understand, whatever you do is bouncing back on you. You are going to get a reaction for everything that you do. And the only escape is surrendering to Krishna. If the soul is born as an animal in a previous life, what is the karmic effect of his activity? Hari Bol. The animal does not create any karma. The animal is burning off karma accumulated in previous human lives. He was a sinful human being, so now he's being punished as an animal to burn off the sins, to burn off the reactions of the sins he created when he was a human being. When he finally burns off sufficient amount of sin, then he is allowed once again to be a human being. And if he again sins, then he again goes down to the animal kingdom. But if he takes the Krishna consciousness, then he gets out of the cycle. He goes back to the spiritual world. So that's it. I'm very, very delighted that so many of you came tonight to hear about Krishna and the science of Krishna consciousness and how we can inundate the world with Krishna consciousness, how we can inundate our own hearts with Krishna consciousness. Please, 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 please take this movement as the service to this movement as the only mission and duty in your life. That's my request. That service to this movement is it for me. That's my whole life now, is in the mood of the great acharyas. My whole life now is dedicated to the mission of ISKCON. Please give up any ideas of anything other than just serving this mission of Lord Chaitanya. That is my humble request to you. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.